Welcome back to the War Room at American Bridge podcast. I'm David Brock, co-founder of American Bridge. Today we have an exciting bonus episode for you. Bradley Baichock, president of American Bridge, and leading political analyst James Carville discuss the races up and down the ballot, the state of the presidential race, and the battle for the U.S. Senate. Tune in to learn more.
Rock and roll. Well, thanks everybody for joining us today. I'm Bradley Baichock, founder and president of American Bridge 21st Century. We are one of the larger super PACs in Democratic politics, and we're excited to speak with everybody today about the election. Joining me today is someone who needs no introduction. I'll give him a small one, a raging Cajun, James Carville, my former boss and fellow LSU grad, sporting his garb. James is a veteran, author, political strategist who rose to fame after the 92 Clinton campaign, and currently he's a co-host of a great podcast, 2020 Politics, the War Room podcast with Al Hunt. Thanks, James, for joining us.
Okay, Bradley.
We're going to talk today about races up and down the ballot while we're here. And I want to, you know, kind of think about, people say every year that this is one of the most important elections. We got 25 days left. And, you know, there are a lot of bedwetters out there and they exist online. So give us a little bit of where the state of the race is today in your mind.
Right. Well, I just have a piece that's posted on a site called NBC Think. I have been bullish on Democratic chances for a long time. And the reason that I am is that we have overperformed in literally 90% of the election since Donald Trump was elected, including the highest turnout, highest margin off the election in history. But that can't be discounted. The polling averages I just saw were like 10.1, I think, on 538. The last time I looked on their probability is about 85-15, and I think it'll even get wider as we go toward the election. The range of possibilities in this is Trump duplicates a 2016 performance where he loses the popular vote, but replicates his sort of northern state strategy, and which is, I think, unlikely. And a lot of it has to do with the work we're doing in places like Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. We're running way ahead of where we need to. To say the least, I'm very optimistic that Joe Biden will be elected.
You've run a lot of campaigns. If you think about what Trump has been doing the last few days, today he spent 2 hours on Rush Limbaugh. He's going to spend tonight on Fox News, an hour yesterday on Fox, tonight on Mark Levin. What do you think his strategy is here, and why does he want to call the election into question?
Well, first of all, his strategy is not to win the election. He's not doing anything to win the election. But what he's trying to do, obviously, is to calcify and harden his base, where he will negotiate his way out, try to negotiate his way out of the White House, where he won't be charged either by the New York Attorney General, Manhattan District Attorney, or by the Justice Department. If you remember, Mueller left all of the evidence of obstruction of justice. It's on the record. It was saved specifically for an event like this. Now, I think he's fighting for his freedom right now. And of course, he's trying to raise the prospect that the election's going to be stolen from him. It's illegitimate. You can't do that. And his hope is that people say, look, just let the guy leave. Let's leave him alone. To hell with it. The country's got to get on with its life. That's what I think his strategy is. But he's clearly not trying to expand his vote. He's not trying to convince anybody to vote for him. He's just digging deeper on his own people. And if you looked at him in a debate, that was clearly somebody who, I don't know what he was trying to do, but when the election, it didn't appear to be any of that. And I'm not at all afraid that this is going to help him win the election, but he'll probably agitate 35% of the country, which I'm still a bit lost, because, you know, you and I have worked in elections before, and the idea is to try to win. You don't always do it, but you try to. He's not trying to win.
And you mentioned the debate. So what did you think of the first debate? What did you think of the VP? And what do you think Trump's going to do going forward? He can't seem to decide.
Well, I think what everybody else thinks about the first debate, and apparently the public saw it exactly the same thing. You know, America people kept saying, oh, nothing matters. They're going to vote for Trump. Oh, no way. All these stories, nothing matters. Of course it matters. He's kind of had this massive electoral defeat. And I'll give you, you know, people around the country, I was at the Costco in New Orleans filling my truck up with gas, and the guy comes up to me, and he's a baseball coach at Holy Cross, which is a Catholic school in New Orleans. And he said, Mr. Carville, you can't teach children anything. You try to teach them fair play. You try to teach them, you know, all the rules in life. And this guy's up there doing that. Well, you got to compound that times 100 million people. And people have children, people have school teachers, clergy people, you name it, social workers, everybody's on the edge, which is rudeness, and the country is just dying for a change. Look, it's a 70% wrong track country. The country is going to vote for change. It is literally that simple. I wish Biden would use the word change more and more.
So everybody's nervous about election night, you know, worried if you're going to know the winner on election night. Do you think we'll know the winner on election night, number one? And number two, if we don't, where are the counties that we should be looking to give us an idea?
All right, this is a very good question, because the range of possibilities, again, are he ekes out a replication of 2016, or it's a blowout, it's a landslide. We're going to know that on election night. So I'll be doing MSNBC, and these are what I call dashboard counties. I want to look, and everybody should bookmark to New Bedford County, North Carolina, which is Wilmington. It's on the East Coast, but it's got a percent rural, percent urban, percent white, percent black, got some, Latino voters. If they got a college there, so you got some of that, UNC, Wilmington. And if Biden carries New Bedford, he's going to carry North Carolina. And if he carries North Carolina, it's game, set, match. The other county that's going to be on my dashboard is Gwinnett in Georgia. Probably the most changing county in the country. It's second largest county in Georgia. I talked to the Gwinnett Democrats. They think they can do 62. If they do 62 in Gwinnett, I know we're going to win Georgia. That's all I got to look at. In Florida, I'll probably be looking at a few things. I'll be looking at Seminole, which is a county a little north of Orlando. Like Gwinnett, its demographics are changing. It's on the cusp of being Democratic. If it goes over, that's going to be a very encouraging sign. In Duval, which is Jacksonville, but a lot surrounding. It's close, but I think, if as I recall, we lost it in 16. If we win that, we're probably going to win. I think we came out of Miami-Dade with 330,000 vote margin. I need to double check that. But if we got 20, if we come out with a 20,000 bigger vote, a 30,000 bigger vote out of Miami-Dade, I think we will, because the turnout's going to be significantly higher. Then if Florida goes, I don't care when Michigan counts its votes. I don't care when they get to absentees in Pennsylvania. I don't care. It doesn't matter. You're going to know. And so, but I really believe by 10:30, 10:45 election night. Now, again, you got to admit there's called a 15% chance that he pulls some kind of thing where it's in doubt, and we got to wait for Pennsylvania, and we got to wait for Michigan. I don't anticipate that happening, but I acknowledge that it's going to happen. I think the counties, and I'm not going to wait for somebody to declare. I'm not going to wait for the AP to declare one. I'll tell the viewers and want to set up and wait for Biden, you can. But I'm not waiting for anybody to project this. If we won North Carolina, Georgia, or Florida, it's over. There's just no other way you can get there. In Pennsylvania, the 538 said if Trump carries Pennsylvania, there's an 84% chance he gets Electoral College. If Biden does, it's 94% chance. I'm going to be looking at Lucerne County, which is Wilkes-Barre. That'll tell me, you know, if we're improving, how much we're improving or how much we improve. I probably would take a look at the margin out of Philadelphia if it comes in early. And they're saying, well, they're not going to count all the ballots until, you know, because the ballot is postmarked on Monday, November 2nd, might not count it to Friday. But that's not going to be that many ballots. If he'd been right now, with our work and our data and what we're showing in Pennsylvania, is we should be in the clear. If things stay the same, we'll know Pennsylvania too.
One last on the presidential. Do you think that we're overreading into these early vote numbers? Do you think they mean something for turnout?
Both. I mean, all of the polls show, I remember that Democrats are more likely to vote early, but we don't know if the early vote, would that person have voted again, would vote on election day. But the numbers are so overwhelming. And Michael McDonald, I wish I could think of his site, I got a bookmark, he's the University of Florida. He's overall the number one scholar on voter turnout. And obviously he really knows Florida. He's been reporting these numbers and he thinks they're impressive. So if Michael McDonald thinks they're impressive, I think they're impressive. But when I did campaigns, we didn't have early voting like we had now. And of course, we didn't have a pandemic. So I don't have a lot of experience at that, but he does. And he says the experience, and like 53% of the ballots were questionable by Democrats. And I don't have the number exactly, like 24% by Republicans. That's got to mean something.
Right. And if you're watching this, the Michael McDonald is his Twitter handle is @electproject, and he is probably the best data guy in Florida. So look, the president's nice. It'd be great to win the presidency, but we'd also like to win the Senate. So where do you think our best chances are to pick up seats? What do you think the sleepers are? Kind of where do you think we stand in the Senate?
Right. Thank you. Good question. So we're going to win in Colorado and Arizona. Essentially, those races are over. The next tier, North Carolina, we hit a little patchy spot there because Cal Cunningham. I think everybody knows about that. But the polling is holding up pretty good. Pretty good. He's still got a little lead. I think they're going to fight through this. Okay. And of course, Maine. But Maine is tight. And remember, they have ranked voting. So I would think where I would put Sarah Gideon at a favorite over Susan Collins, but not at the same level that Colorado and Arizona are. Then I would also make Greenfield a favorite over Joni Ernst. She's consistently polling better. Iowa's going to be one of the big turnaround states. My good friends, Governor Bullock, Jim Messina, who we work with, who's Obama's campaign manager, said it's 47-47 with Lena's is 48-48. I mean, this thing is going to go right down to the wire. The two sleeper races, South Carolina has just been moved to toss up on the Cook Report. And they're like moving a battleship. They don't move fast. I mean, they accumulate, but when they make a decision to move a state, particularly a Senate race, they don't do it lightly at all. And everything that I see tells me that, and Jamie Harrison had a really good debate. That's going to be one of the good campaigns of the cycle. They got so much money, it's ridiculous. The two that are kind of longer shots, but that we got, one of my early things I'm involved is Al Gross in Alaska. Probably, depending on how you count it, maybe two down. But there's a big third party, Alaska Independence Party, which is a very right-wing operation, and they got a pretty serious person. And I don't think we could get to 50 is the bad news in Alaska, but we don't have to get to 50. I think if you get to 47 or 46 and a half, you're there. And the other one, and I've just seen too much data, is Kansas.
Yeah.
We probably, need a few less. I mean, it's a very Republican state, but it's stubbornly close. And Barbara Bayh is a really good candidate. And, we got a shot. And look, Texas, the first debate is tonight.
Oh, wow.
Star Cronin trying to get some distance with Trump, telling the Houston Chronicle that he thinks he's mishandled the virus. Well, he's not going to say that unless he has data that concern him. Now, the quants are not as big on Texas as I am. I'll be honest about that. The quants are much more skeptical. But so what? I'm more optimistic about Texas than the quants.
And so if you were somebody watching today and you had $100 to give to a Senate campaign, where would you send it tonight?
Probably Texas.
There you go.
I say that because they need to, I mean, I got 17 media markets, I'd probably send it up to the North Carolina Democratic Party. if there's one thing I could send it to, because you got the governor's race, you got a highly contested presidential race, you have a highly contested Senate race, and you got a couple of three or four House races that we can pick up in North Carolina. So that would be probably my number one place that I would send a check would be the Democratic Party of North Carolina. Florida, Bloomberg's dropping 100 mil, so I think they got that pretty well covered. Georgia, you got two Senate races. You know, Democratic Party of Georgia, you got a really contested presidential race. That's another mean. You know, there's a lot of places that can do a lot of good.
I like to listen to the bookmaker Carville, you know, setting the line. If anybody wants to make some bets or predictions, I should say, on the election, you can go to predictit.com.
Of all the things, if we talked about what we're doing, are you going to explain that at some point?
No, who cares what we're doing? Well, we're trying to win the election in three states, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. That we think, and I think everyone would agree, and I think you'll see the news over the weekend, Pennsylvania is the tipping point state. And we are shifting resources. James talked a little bit about where he thinks the presidential battlegrounds are. And we're seeing Trump know the same thing. Pennsylvania is the ground zero. And I don't think that'll change. And I think the
Erie County would be the one. Lucerne, or Erie, which is a real swing thing. And you'll have a pretty good idea where Pennsylvania is going when we look at what happens in Erie County. I'll look at Lucerne, too, which is Wilkes-Barre. And margin out of Philadelphia. We're going to roll up a huge vote in Chester, Montgomery, Delaware, Lower Bucks. We can roll up a pretty good vote out of there. I'm positive.
We have one more question on Trump, and then we're going to do some viewer questions. So if you look at the news this week on the stimulus deal and every way he's been, do you feel like he's got a strategy that he has from Art of the Deal, or is he just shooting from the hip?
He's got a strategy. Give Nancy Pelosi every bargaining chip that you have. So he comes up and he says, we're called off negotiations. Well, of course, the market's tanked. All the Republicans are calling Mitch McConnell. What in the hell is going on? Ted Cruz says, if we don't get a thing, we're going to have a Watergate. Ted Cruz in Texas, right? So then he comes back, you know, she's demanding $2 trillion, and he gives 1.8. He's desperate. And the Republican Congressional Caucus and Senate Caucus are going absolutely crazy. And I mean, Pelosi has just negotiated, because she had the advantage of negotiating with the worst negotiator to ever live. So he says, I'm cutting out. Then he comes back to the table. Well, you don't have any strength right now. And he's down average of 10 points according to 538. Well, in politics, it's like anything else. If you don't have any political strength, they don't care. They do what we want. And she's just dominated him, humiliated him, beat him. It's really amazing. They ought to put the statue on the mall.
Totally agree. All right, well, here's a few viewers' questions. Claire says, what's your view of the legal mischief that Trump is planning to pull?
Oh, they're going to try everything. I'll give you I did a thing to Harris County Democrats, which is Houston, Texas. Of course, under Texas law, they get one drop box. They have 4 million people in Harris County. Loving County, Texas, which has like 111 people, gets one drop box. But they have 700 lawyers in Harris County that have volunteered to help with ballot issues, election law, et cetera. The effort is being, you know, the national effort. I mean, as you know, Mark Elias is a world-class election lawyer, Seth Waxman. I mean, we've got some of the best lawyers in the world, but of course they aren't as good as the courts. So it is something to be concerned about. It really is.
Yeah, if you want to watch and help, Mark Elias's organization is called Democracy Docket. If you're a lawyer or have any ability to do poll watching, certainly go volunteer. The next question is from Beth. She says, in Kentucky, who do you think will win the Senate race? Rumor has it that McGrath and McConnell are neck and neck. What do you think?
I've worked in Kentucky. I really worked hard helping elect Andy Beshear. Love Kentucky. That is a tough state for a Democrat in a federalized election. I hope that the rumor is correct. I I'm squishy. I'm much more bullish on South Carolina and Kansas than I'm on Kentucky. But, you know, McConnell's been there forever. You know, who knows? I mean, that'll be the 57th, 58th Senate seat if we win Kentucky.
I agree with you. I think that Jamie Harrison has just been one of the breakout
players. But I mean, he just kicked the living, you know what, out of Lindsey Graham in that debate. I mean, he was a really effective communicator. His camp, of course, they're raising money like it's water. But, you know, he's not missed a step. My friend Joe Cunningham down in the first, a real, real, real good poster had him up like 57-42 or something like that. You know, I mean, I love Jim Clyburn. And I mean, you know, he's obviously, and then Trump, if you're Lindsey Graham, I mean, think of this. Trump is talking, asking William Barr to jail President Obama. I mean, he's just running a Democratic base turnout program in South Carolina, Georgia, North Carolina, even Mississippi and Louisiana.
Yeah, I heard on Trump on Limbaugh today said the first call he was going to make after the show was to Barr to complain about the Russian report not being out. He also made a comment that you'll be interested in. When Trump asked him about the New York the New York DA's investigation, he said, "I'm just going to have to beat this thing." That's what he said. So.
Yeah, and there's a real good, there was a piece in the Post about this really shady tax break he took for some property he has north in New York City. I mean, it was really like damning. Let me tell you, they're going to indict him. I guarantee you. And those, I know what a friend of mine is a really good lawyer. He's a former dean of the Duke Law School. And he's working on appellate on it in his cases. He said, those lawyers are really good. These are not some gang that couldn't shoot straight. He's got some real people coming after him.
No doubt. Next question from Rafi. He says, Trump loses. Who are the likely suspects for the Republican nomination in 2024?
Probably Josh Hawley, you know, Tom Cotton. Nikki Haley is going to try. You know, it depends on how bad he loses by. And it depends on what happens to Trumpism. I mean, a pretty virulent strain in American politics. And you know, there'll be a Trumpist candidate. I kind of don't think it'll be Pence. I think he got beat by I don't think they like the fact that the African-American woman beat him in a debate. They're going to hold out against him. But he'll be there. You know, one other thing, like Rubio, he's got to win the 2022 reelection in Florida. Their Senate map in 2022 is awful. So, and that'll have a lot to do with what happens in 2024. But the debate, the vice presidential debate, I called it the first event of the 2024 primary cycle. Yeah. And on the Democratic side, even if Biden doesn't run for re-election, it's going to be contested. I mean, they like Harris. She did a good job, but this is not going to, it's not going to be a coronation, I promise you.
No, it doesn't seem like that's where the party is. So last question from our viewers, and we'll wrap up here. Do you think it's important to win big over Trump and also in key Senate races?
That is a wonderful question. And the answer is, I think it's exceedingly important. And my slogan is this, because I'm from New Orleans, and as you do, and we have our home slang, and we have to win by more than five, and that's no jive. I think we're going to get, I'm hoping to get double digits. It's not enough to win. We have to crush this thing. And everybody should be optimistic, but, you know, we got to follow this thing through. Just stay focused. We got 3 weeks from Tuesday. I mean, the people are voting now. So just, you know, put the pedal to the metal and just, you know, sleep when you're dead. All right. You know, celebrate when it's over. But right now, let's just go.
One last question just for fun. Who's your best bet of the weekend? You seem to be a better political consultant than you are a sports handicapper. And what'd you have today for lunch?
So it's a good question. So Tony, I'm the tout on Tony Kornhauser's show. And I said, Tony, I got to resign until after the election. Because I usually, you know, I'll call you and I'll call Jeff, a couple of sports writers and look on some of the tout site. And I said, I just can't concentrate. I said, I don't mind given a losing side, but at least I want some thought into it. And I said, I just can't think about anything with this election. I don't even care if LSU loses. I mean, that's how consumed I am with this. I can't read a book. I can't do anything. I've just become like an old man, just like, you know, slobbering at the mouth, screaming and yelling at kids playing stickball in the street. But I'm sorry, I just can't do anything. But, you know, the country is at a, you know, what else could you do after Pearl Harbor or something? There wasn't much you could do, but like stay focused. And that's just what we do. So I'm until November 3rd, I'm out of the tout business. I'm out of the book reading business. I'm just, you know, getting up in the middle of the night and, you know, yelling at demons and walking around and everything else. And, but I can't do anything about it. For more than 3 weeks, it'll be over. But everybody out on this call, I know all of you are dedicated and patriots and, you know, love this country. And let's just bring this little puppy home here.
Amen. Well, thanks, James, for joining us today. Thanks, everybody, for watching. And we're on track to make your history here. So go vote on Election Day and have a great weekend. Thanks, everybody.